Namaste. So as part of the joy of collected poems, today we take up this poem called Renewal. So as we have earlier also spoken about it, that time is not just a linear movement. In its origin, time is a circular movement. And we see the circular movement going on. And why this is circular? Because both space and time are born through the great dance of the wonderful dancer, the divine Shakti. So dance, why it is used, called as a dance? Because there is a rhythm in it. But this rhythm is a rhythm of the free infinite. So human mind cannot try to picture how the divine Shakti is dancing in a rapture. And as she dances, we can visualize a gigantic fire. And out of that, many flames are entering into creation. Many, many flames. And each flame that has emerged from the heart or the core of that burning, wonderful, need not describe, qualify further, has its own unique life, has its own unique destiny. And then from each flame, a little spark enters, far flung wide into space. And then it will develop and grow and grow and grow through lives, after life, through the process of life, death, rebirth. Until it touches that original flame, that blueprint is there in that flame. So it's constantly drawing it. So this flame which is born out of that one infinite Shakti and a magnificent dance is the central being or Jivatma. And this little spark which has entered into creation is the psychic essence. Now see how they are connected. The psychic essence is connected with the Jivatma all the time because it's come out of that. And therefore, through all the twists and turns of life and the change of seasons and the change of form and change of events, circumstances, it's constantly being pulled towards that. And the central being or the Jivatma is always connected to the Lord, to the Divine Mother. So one of the, you know, that whole, in a certain sense, the destiny is already marked out. The secret path. People often speak about the path, that the occult path has already been marked out for all of us and we have to just discover it. And once discovered, we have to walk upon it. It was very interesting when first time we came to Pondicherry because Yutsu had got admission. So we were looking for a house because that's what you look for the first time. And Dr. Maheshwari said something very interesting. He said, see, the house for you is already marked. You have to discover it. So I said, yeah, that's true. Because he said, if the mother has given admission, she has arranged everything for you. So surely the house was discovered and he himself asked me that, you know, there was a new house which he had built and he asked me to stay there. And he didn't charge a penny throughout the stay. So I always quote this story that there are people in India who have lived like that. And then we shifted to another house and they also didn't charge a penny. So it's something so beautiful, you know, to live like that. But anyway, so secretly the path is fixed for us, already determined. So we often speak about determination and freedom and fate. So it's already fixed. But we reach that, touch that point through various twists and turns, like going around. And yet we keep touching the path, intersect it, go away, then again we touch the path, and this is how the journey goes, through a winding road. It can be a straight road, of course. Both roads have their own plus and minus, so we'll not go into that. So what really is the path meant for? The path is meant for realizing the fullness of the divine, which is already there in us like a seed, as simple as that. That is the permanent, secure destiny for all of us, which no doom can take away and no adverse fate, will, force can change. Because that attraction is so strong, and with each passing birth, each rebirth, it becomes stronger and stronger. So rebirth is part of an evolutionary movement. Rebirth has nothing to do with reward and punishment. Reward and punishment are a mistranslation of a very deep truth in terms of our limited, crude, vulgar human consciousness, because we cannot imagine anything greater. So we project our ideas on the divine, that he is sitting with a carrot and stick, punishing us for faults and rewarding us, but that's not the thing at all. And even if it seems like that, it is only ultimately, if a child is very small, when children, for children there used to be competition and mother would give prizes. So the mother was asked that, you know, we are supposed to get rid of ambition, but why for children prizes are being given? He said, do you suppose a child to be doing yoga? Children don't move without that. So for children, there is a method. So for the child soul, it looks like divine has rewarded, divine has punished, but it's not that. Actually, he is trying to put us back again and again on that great, beautiful path through which we have to ultimately arrive. And time to time, when this path is blocked, fully blocked, then of course the divine descent takes place. But that's for later. To come back to the poem, so a question arises, what about things that we experienced in this life? Friends, work, experiences, events, circumstances. So many things where we felt, ah, if only this could be. But for some reason it doesn't happen. Or if it happens, it's only halfway through. So Shivindra describes that state. And then he raises the question, is it done forever? Or does the moment return? So in a linear movement of time, there is nothing like return, because you are always moving forward. But if we understand time as a cyclic movement, that is the significance of birthday. That again, once again, change of seasons. So seasons change, and yet through this change, there is a renewal. And we move forward. So we see spring, birth, summer, toil, seasons also reveal the same truth. Everywhere we'll find the same plan. Birth is like spring. All happy, all beautiful, joyous. You don't have to worry. Flowers will bloom effortlessly. Then there is summer. So childhood, then youth. So in summer you are toiling, struggling. You don't even know whether you will ultimately have the reward or not. Then comes rain. The third phase, which is purification. Because in the process of toil, we sweat. And so many things happen which are not such things which are very desirable. So rains which purify us. And then after the purification, we realize that actually life, the essence was so little. And so there is autumn and winter where we are shedding many things which are like a burden. But is this the end? And there, Sri Aurobindo's answer, let's keep it a secret. Spring returns. That's the profounder meaning of the famous poet's line, that if winter is near, spring is not far behind. It didn't mean that when there is despair, good times are coming. But it's a renewal which takes place constantly. Even day and night, same cycle. Early morning, very beautiful. Then, towards noon, effort, toil, everybody is working. Of course, there are people who nowadays wake up at noon and all the cycles are different, but the nishachari pravarti, keeping awake at night. But anyway, so then there is noon, effort. Then there is evening, when there is a quietening. You contemplate. And then there is night, when all the energies which had gone into the world are gathered inside for a new day. So does the day change? At one level, if somebody sees only outwardly, mechanically, he will say, no, it's the same. See, sun has risen again. But still we say day has moved one step forward. Isn't it interesting? So this whole cycle of rebirth is for a forward movement. There are many unfinished lines of evolution, many threads we have started spinning. These threads must arrive at their logical conclusion. This is why we should be careful of the threads we are spinning, because these threads have to arrive at the logical. This is the thread of karma we have woven, and there is a reason why, even in ignorance or knowledge, whatever, why the threads are woven. But the important point is these threads cannot be cut abruptly. That's why suicide is the most harmful thing one can ever do, or even to think about death, because you have started spinning a web, because your soul needs to go through something, and you try to cut it halfway through to escape, because when you are trying to do this, you suddenly may enter into a space which is not very pleasant, and then you want to cut it this way. You have to meet the same challenge and many times more in the life to come, because half spun threads, destiny will not leave it at that. It has a beautiful side, and of course it has a difficult side. So this poem is renewal. When the heart tires and the throb stills recalling. See how beautifully Shubhendu is describing. Heart was throbbing for something which came in life. And then it tires after a while. It has become still, but it recalls. There is a memory, sweet memory. Things that were once and again can be never. He still remembers. Though that moment has gone, the person has gone, the circumstance has gone. When the bow falls and the drawn string is broken. What an image this is of time. Bow is often the image of time. So you have taken the bow and the string suddenly snaps halfway through. Hands that were clasped yet forever are parted. That image of Dimitri and Persephone, and you have those Greek mythology where the two are just about to join, Orpheus, legend of Orpheus, and hands that were clasped are parted. It seems forever, because in one life they are gone. When the soul passes to new births and bodies. Lands never seen and meetings with new faces. Is the bow raised and the fallen arrow fitted? Acts that were vain re-wedded to the fate curve. Now comes the secret. He is first raising the question. First he is describing the state, that what happens. You raise the bow, you fitted the arrow and it snapped. So many, it's almost a common experience of every life in some way or the other. Something that you wished, something that you wanted, something that you started. You went up to a point and then for some reason it stopped. So then he's saying that, well, the soul will take a new body, new birth. So what happens then? Is it that you will enter new lands, new faces? Is the bow raised and the fallen arrow fitted? Does the curve of time return back? Acts that were vain. So why vain? Because we don't see this totality. That's why we very soon develop this idea of vanity. Why? Because you see that something you attempted, it never really, the arrow, forget about touching the mark, it snapped. Shubhendu at one place says, why many approximation and failures are justified? Because when you do that, ultimately one day you will shoot. But if you give up, so one should never give up, because even mother was asked that, supposing you have taken something and there are obstacles, you are some action and course of action. So is it a sign that the divine will is against it? The mother says, no. Once you have started something, you should arrive at its logical conclusion. Not leave it halfway through, because that is how. Because otherwise it will keep returning. That state, that circumstance, in some way or the other, that situation. That's why in the ashram, whenever somebody went to change a house or change the department, the mother would say, change yourself. Because you may change the department, you will find that much worse fellow has come. comes. Sometimes some people are lucky, I know. So they have been pushed to change. That's different. That divine mother's grace. But if you change the department because you are unhappy, sometimes that same thing comes back. You change the person, you think it's gone, the same problems will come. But in the process, there is growth and evolution. That's what happens. So when you meet the same problem the second time, you meet it a little better. Something in you has changed, something has grown. So that's how when we see life over long spaces of time, so evil becomes subtler, at the same time it becomes somewhat weaker. And good tends to increase and it becomes also subtler. And take the example of, it tends to express itself in beautiful ways. Take the example of Ramayana. So look at Ravana, the titan. It was so huge, massive. You just can't imagine anybody even, you know, fighting such a person. Imagine one Ravana coming here. What is going to happen? Imagine police going to arrest him. The fellow will just... So that is, so in the next life he comes as Duryodhana, manageable. Krishna avatar, no? So Duryodhana is little more manageable. And then he comes as within. So that's how someone said that in Rama's time, good is here, evil is there. In Krishna's, it's in the same kul. And in Shurbindo, it's in the same heart. So this is how slowly we will see. Like earlier, the gladiators. In sports, people will kill. This was considered something, you know. But now it has changed. Now the warring tendency are changing into competitive sports. This is how tendencies tend to evolve and undergo a change. So, but the curve, there is a curve through which they have to pass. It's the process of evolution. Very beautiful essay of Sri Aurobindo. The process of evolution, where you say once a tendency is there in nature, it has to go through a whole curve. You can't cut it. You can't just do nigraha. He says before nigraha, you have to go through sanyama. Then it becomes weak. Then you can just remove it. But those who try to forcibly, outwardly coerce, that hits back and hits back in worse ways. That's why sannyasis and all the inner consciousness is not a very good thing, because when you forcibly try to do something. So now he is raising the question, is the bow raised and the fallen arrow fitted? Acts that were vain, re-wedded to the fate curve. Suddenly, will we meet those whom we loved? One of the common questions. How are we going to recognize them? Because faces will change, the bodies will change. So Sri Aurobindo makes it still more precise. To the life sundered, can time bring rejoining? Can time bring together those whose lives were sundered? They were together. They loved each other. See, this is the story of course, in Savitri, this happens in the same life. But their stories, even Mother and Sri Aurobindo, you see how they have gone through several moments of sundering of lives. Love that was slain, be reborn with the body. So you see, the body's change. He's trying to tell us, he's revealing to us that the body changes, but forces cannot be destroyed, energies cannot be destroyed. This even pure science would tell us. So this energy which has been let loose into this curve of destiny will find us. Each is an energy loosed and finds its course. It will find, because it's like a trans receiver. That's how they are trying to find out whether aliens exist in space or not. God knows why they are doing this. So they send radio signals and they are waiting for certain signals to come back. This is how everything that when we have released a very, of course, it doesn't apply to all kinds of desire for a chocolate and a, you know, car. It's not about that. But let's say in that you wanted to reach a point, or you loved someone very deeply and you couldn't be together, or coming together, you had to part ways. So does time bring a rejoining? To the life sundered, can time bring rejoining? love that was slain be reborn with the body. As always, no more suspense, because Shobindu always gives hope, but a beautiful hope. In the mind null, so not only body has changed, faces have changed, the mind has forgotten, mind doesn't remember. From the heart's cords rejected, because the strings are rent asunder and the heart no more feels. Lost to the sense, even the senses cannot, you know. So this is how we weave a particular life, event, circumstances. The senses don't remember, the heart has rejected, the mind, it's all null, blank. Now comes the punchline. But the spirit remembers. And with an exclamation mark. Look at that exclamation, powerful. Oh, is it? That mind forgets. Mind is blank. Forget about forgetting. The heart has rejected. The senses have completely lost, because the faces have changed, the bodies have changed, everything has changed, circumstances have changed. One may be born in another place, completely different circumstances, but the spirit's memory is permanent. Whatever, now the sum and gist of it is, whatever has been touched by the soul, that can never be forgotten, that can never be left halfway through. Whatever is not touched by the soul, but is only a play of the mind, or simply a sentimental attraction of the heart or the senses, that's what death can take away. But whatever has been touched by the secret spirit within us can never be sundered. Even if it seems to snap in one particular life, it will return in new bodies and new birth. So this is the renewal. Renewal. Again, like the tree, see, new leaves come after autumn when leaves are shed. New leaves come and fill the tree. But the root of the tree is the same variety which is coming up. So that truth which is embedded in the soul is bound to come and reveal itself. Of course, in a certain sense, it's good that the mind is null and the heart is rejected and the senses have forgotten, because it gives the sense of joy to the adventure. Imagine you recognize by the mind, oh, this fellow, oh, he had this problem, that problem. But now it is the spirit, because the spirit's togetherness is always something not only sacred and beautiful and permanent, but it sees the essence of things. It is not linked through the outer face and form and circumstance. It's linked through something much deeper, like a deeper cord. So this is what we'll read again. Renewal. When the heart tires and the throb stills, recalling things that were once and again can be never. When the bow falls and the drawn string is broken, hands that were clasped yet forever are parted. When the soul passes to new births and bodies, lands never seen and meetings with new faces, is the bow raised and the fallen arrow fitted, acts that were vain re-wedded to the fate curve. What a word he has used. Re-wedded. That's what is the original sense of joining together around something sacred. That is the difference between wedding, that it joins together around something very sacred and true and beautiful, the upward aspiration. So it weds itself to what? Re-wedded to the fate curve. It will find, because that's the way it's traveling. It just can't, whatever it be, it may be very far. There's a beautiful story of the mother which actually typifies this. And the story is a sapphire tale. And the beauty of the story is it's beautiful from beginning to end. And the story is about a girl who is dreaming of some distant land where she's going to find a prince, and she goes, travels, finds, and everything is very beautiful in that whole story. So this is how It may be very far, and yet it will. How do we come to Mother and Sri Aurobindo? That's how it is. Something within us remembers. I have seen people who come and suddenly say that it's home, like we have come home. So why, how? One doesn't know. But here is Sri Aurobindo's answer. To the life sundered, can time bring rejoining? Sundered in space, time can rejoin them. Love that was slain, be reborn with the body? In the mind null, from the heart's cords rejected, lost to the sense, but the spirit remembers. Om Kritosmar, Kritam Smar, Kritosmar, Kritam Smar. Vayuranil Amritam Achedam Bhasmantam Shariram. The breath of life, the breath of things is life immortal. But of the body, the ashes are the end. O will, that which was done, remember. O will, that which was done, remember. This is the literal, larger transcript and a very practical way of this beautiful phrase of the Isha Upanishad. Because life is immortal. That energy which has been lost, let into creation, is that you cannot destroy energy. You cannot, that information which has gone all over the cosmos. Body, yes, the forms are still destroyed. But here too, there is hope. If the body can learn to renew itself, the body will escape death. See, even now, there is a line in the synthesis of yoga in the very first page. To be perpetually reborn is the condition of physical immortality. That's how the body continues. To be perpetually reborn. So the day the body learns to undo and redo itself, future words, that's the word mother has used. Right now, every time it renews, it falls a little backward compared to the forward movement of the soul. Soul is always moving forward through everything. So the body cannot keep pace. So after a time, it snaps. That's why sometimes when you make a haste and very impatient for the leap and the progress, the body can snap. This happens because you want to take a leap, the body cannot sustain it. But then you will come back in a new body and take the new curve. But the day we learn that the body can keep pace with the spirit within, that day we'll realize physical immortality. And the day is destined to come. But first let us focus on all other things that are given to us. Namaste.